So let us join together to worship God. From the Psalmist. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. We join together to sing. Let all the world in every corner sing. So we join to pray. Let us pray. God of the vastness of all that is, of all peoples and communities, here we are, gathering to worship and adore you, marveling at your love and care and your persistence with us. You are God who is beyond our imagining. Again and again, we are engulfed in your vastness and love. How can we do anything but praise you again and again? In the higgledy-piggledy ways of life, Lord, especially during this bizarre time with challenges and changes pulling us this way and that, we sometimes find it hard in the heat of the moment to know what is right and what is wrong. And at this season, to discern what is wise and what is a foolish risk. Guide us. And forgive us if we are allowing fear to be our biggest narrative. Forgive us our failings. Forgive our wrongdoing. Forgive our insensitivity to the ways of others. Forgive us anything that cuts us off from each other and cuts us off from you. And forgive us for thinking that we have, each of us individually, all the resources that we need and do not need one another. Forgive us if our isolation of this time has led to a psychological isolation from one another. And the Lord extends to each of us love and mercy. Lord, may we receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, Sally has a story to share with us.
Hello, everybody. Can I just check that you can hear me and see me? Yeah, good. I'm having a bit of trouble with Wi-Fi, and some of you are not moving. You're just completely static. Sorry. We're going to have the story, and I'm going to ask you to copy the actions as I tell the story, okay? Not just the children, but the grown-ups as well. But I am seeing some children. I'm seeing Esther there. So I'm just going to wave to Esther. Welcome. In fact, I'm going to see if I can put a little... wave on the screen. Let's do the story. So first of all, this story is about Jesus. Jesus was talking to his friends. Can you copy that? Jesus was talking to his friends, and he said, if anyone does anything that makes you feel sad face, ask them to stop. If they don't listen, then ask some other people to come and talk to them and make things right again. Jesus said that this helps make the church work. If two or three other people come together to share my love, then I will be there. Amen.
So we have two readings today. The first is Ezekiel, which Liz Cook is reading to us. The prophet Ezekiel has been called to be a watchman for Israel, the one who sees and points out to the nation the things that they are doing that is wrong and unacceptable to God. But Ezekiel needs to be reminded that God takes no pleasure in the sin and the death of the wicked. And then from Matthew's Gospel, and it's very interesting that this really is only found in Matthew's Gospel. When you hear it, you'll know it's such an important scripture. What happens when someone within the circle of faith is living in a way that would deny their confession of faith? Jesus here teaches that follows on from warnings about putting stumbling blocks in the paths of the weakest, and a word to unlock a fullness of life. This passage we read by Denise Scorer.
The first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 to 11. Son of Man, reading from the New International Version. Son of Man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die. For his sin, that you will be saved yourself. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Amen.
If your brother sins against you, go to him and show him his fault. But do it privately, just between yourselves. If he listens to you, you have won your brother back. But if he will not listen to you, take one or two other persons with you so that every accusation may be upheld by the testimony of two or more witnesses, as the scripture says. And if he will not listen to them, then tell all this to the church. Finally, if he will not listen to the church, then treat him as though he were a pagan or a tax collector. And so I tell all of you, what you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And I tell you more, whenever two of you on earth agree about anything, you pray for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them.
So that's good.
Warm greetings to all those of you who are joining us from the website. If we can do anything for you at this season, and that might mean just listening, we're up for that. And if we could get to know you better, that would be great. And if we could journey and work out more about what God is up to, that would be fabulous. So get in touch. If we can help, we will. The passages that I'm preaching from today are Ezekiel 33, 7 to 11, and Matthew 18, 15 to 20. So get your Bible up or get your phone up, read the passages, and then come back in. Wherever two or three are gathered, it will be hard to get along. That's the truth. Jesus didn't say it, but it is the truth. I know people have a notion that church people are lovely, helpful, caring, kind, and all of that is true, but they are people like everybody else, which means they are fallen, they are sinful, and they are foolish. How will someone know that they are doing wrong unless someone points it out to them? Have no delight in the death of the wicked. Or maybe, have no delight in their wrongdoing, but delight when they turn around. So says God to the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel has been called the watchman of the people of Israel, the one who points out the people's mistakes so that they can change. God reminds Ezekiel, it's difficult to point out people's failings, but that is the job when you are a prophet. However, Ezekiel needs to remind the people that God does not delight in the death of the wicked. God's delight is that they would turn and live. Jesus is making it clear that we have the responsibility to gently correct each other when we fall into sin. But be careful. That's not the same as me saying we have the responsibility to tell each other off when we make a mistake. The Ezekiel passage makes it clear what the aim is here. It's not about me jumping onto my moral high ground happy and lonely. It's about you leaving your past sin and together us moving forward. If I am going to try to help you to move from your sin, then that is a highly demanding thing. The easiest and the laziest thing is for me to fire off some sort of rant. Send a button pressed and the warm wash of self-righteousness passes over me. But if I'm actually interested in you, then I will get off my high horse and I will listen. It will be exhausting. It will be personally exposing. I will walk with you and I will be aware of my own sin too. In terms of relationships, Jesus sets the bar high. Jesus' aim is that the church should be a community of honest relationships and a community that refuses to keep silent when behaviours harm others. But how much easier to talk about someone rather than to them. So let me ask you, who have you harmed today? Not who has harmed you. We can all make a list of all those people. But who have you harmed? And what are you going to do when somebody raises it with us? How are we going to listen to that? So let's look at the passage in Matthew from the point of view of the person challenged. What about you've made a comment and somebody's taking offence? And they're brave enough to come to you and speak to you. They don't talk about you, they talk to you. They don't talk to the world, hoping that you'll somehow get the message, they talk to you. They bravely come back and raise the matter with you. First question, are we kind enough and courageous enough to listen to them? Our first instinct when somebody calls us out is to come out fighting, to dismiss them as feeble, lacking in backbone, overly sensitive. Maybe before we are so dismissive, we should pause and celebrate the fact that they raised the issue that they came back rather than festering about it. We have no right to speak if we are not prepared to listen. We have no ability to share the gospel if we are not hearing what is going on for people. I need to hear your story before I can share what I have to say. Listening, though, is hard. It's been one of the exhausting things of this season, to hear the stories of what is going on for people. And if we listen well, then we're not merely listening to what is being said, we're listening to what is behind what is being said. And along with that, we're listening as well to what God is saying. It's tiring. But it's one of the things that those who know about such things are saying is therapeutic and helpful at this time. They talk about the three C's. They are calm, communication, and connection. And connection is to talk with someone who you have the sense that really gets you. Real, deep listening. So back to Jesus. The easiest thing if you disagree with somebody's behaviour is to do nothing. Huff and puff about it in your own head. Next easiest, but actually worse, is to talk about them. The easiest thing is to rage, to wag your finger, to send the email or the angry letter. The hardest thing is to sit down on their side of the desk, beside them, and talk about the issue. Listening to what they have to say on the assumption that we are all sinners. If we want to vent, that's one thing, but it won't change behaviour. If our aim is to help someone, then the scriptures say there is need for private conversation, and I would suggest that we'll major on vulnerability and humility. Often in our protesting and campaigning, we push people against the wall so that they come out swinging. What God wants is, yes, people having the wrong shown to them, but also that they would be changed. And that is a much more gentle and subtle thing, a much more demanding thing. The passage from Ezekiel makes it clear that we are not in the world of punishing, we are in the world of helping a brother or sister in the faith. If we offer critical words, we need to do it in a way that is designed to build someone up. It's also done in a spirit that acknowledges that we could be on the receiving end of the words as well as the one dishing them out. And Jesus goes on. If they will not listen to you, they are to be treated as though they were a Gentile or a tax collector. What does that mean? Well, it means that they are a person who currently is outside. That does not mean that they're worthless. It does not mean that they are to be abused. It's simply that they haven't come to understand the depth of the truth yet. The prophet Ezekiel makes it clear that God's delight is not in the suffering of the wicked, but that they would turn around, that people's lives would be changed. But what about the call to tell people that they are wrong? There are plenty of things that are wrong. Priorities that favour the rich above the poor. Discrimination against people on the basis of the colour of their skin. A system that is set up to keep the power in the hands of a few. Increasing social division. None of these is what the Lord requires. There is a place for signing petitions and going on marches. It raises a momentum. But the change that really matters is where God is at work. Inside, what happens in people's hearts? Condemning is easy. Changing is tough. It's true for others, and it's true for each of us. Finally, this comment about where two or three agree has a real power for me. If I hear the same idea, comment, thought from two distinct places, then I give it great weight. If I know for certain that I'm not the one that's brought it into the conversation, then for me, it is one of the things that makes me realise that God is at work. Two people, different people in different contexts, saying the same thing, that has a strength for me. It's one of the ways that I hear God. I'm sure you have yours, and I would be delighted if you would teach me what they are.
So let us pray. Eternal, ever-living God, we pray for those who this day need our prayers. Those who we know who are suffering at this time. We pray for strangers and communities that we will never meet and never know. And we pray for family and friends near and far. We pray for those whose peril we have heard of, we've seen on our screens. We pray for those whose behaviour and priorities we know are not yours. We pray not for their humiliation or embarrassment, but we pray for change. And we pray for those who have the calling to speak, particularly those who have the calling to speak a word to those in power. Lord, we pray for those who have the responsibility to preach the gospel. And we pause and remember that that is each one of us. And we pray that you would help us to challenge one another, that we would live lives that flourish and tell the good news. We pray for people overwhelmed by anxiety. we pray for those who are suddenly aware of their age. Those who are ill. And for those who at this time are suddenly aware of how alone they are. We pray for those who grieve. And we pray for those who grieve a life lost, but also we pray for those who grieve a way of life lost. And we hold before you those who have nobody to speak out for them. The forgotten, the unnoticed, the unloved. For we know that is not your view. Lord God, in your abundant mercy, hear these and all our prayers. The few that are spoken and the many that come in the silence, we offer them in the name of Jesus. Amen. I realise I've got a great huge script here, which is about half the length of a sermon, so massive. So what I'm going to do, once I've finished this act of worship, I'm going to send this to you all on the distribution list. And I'm aware that we've got to start producing weekly notices, because they're just increasing, obviously there's increasing amounts going on. So today we worship in the building at 5. Everybody's welcome, of course, and everybody has to make their own choices about gathering in a confined space, which is what it is. Everybody has to wear a mask. Everybody has to clean their hands. Everybody has to do a track and trace. There will be no singing. There will be no socializing afterwards. And there will be social distancing throughout. Those are the rules. And it will change. And God will be there. And me and two others will be there. That's how we go. And all the time we will be evolving. But I suspect that the pattern that we're in now will be the pattern up till middle of December, say. Let's stay with that. So now that we're moving into increasing number of things happening in the worship space and in the building, we're going to start the coffee service again. The good news is that the electrical fault that was in the hall with the lights was sorted very quickly. And so now we can start the coffee service, which we are doing again in the worship space. We're going to do it 2 days a week on Mondays and Thursdays. If you are interested in volunteering, would you please communicate with Liz Cook? Thank you. The deadline for the October and November church news is Friday the 11th of September. That's this Friday. Would you please email contributions to Robin, whose email list address is david.anderson48@btinternet.com. And if you need that, get in touch with me and I'll send it on. Next Sunday morning is our AGM. So we have a number of reports, and we're going to do it in the same style as we've done before, which is reports and worship in a pattern. No, it's not beyond anybody's imagination to consider that if the building is shut and if we are not having lettings, then there is a big financial challenge that is ours. We are grateful for those who have been continuing to support the work of the church through their financial giving. But we are going to have a gift day on the 27th of September, and you will be getting a letter, another communication from me about that, about how to make your gift. But the plan is just to lighten and brighten the whole thing up and to symbolise the fact that it's the Big Eight challenge, is that we invite people to do something as we are reflecting and thinking on this. Something that depends on you. Depends. I mean, Janine's challenge is she's going to lose that final 8 pounds. It's just amazing. And if we're not going to celebrate anything, let's celebrate that. Other people are going to do all range of different things. And it would be Anne McFarlane's going to wheel round on a journey. Bronwyn is going to send us some pictures of her walk. Vaughan is going to do a whole of the planks. So please, take up a challenge, take some photos and send them to Vaughan. A little bit written, send it to Vaughan and he will tart it up and send it to John Watson. It will go on the website. Sue Watson, it will go on the website. As part of the 8-day challenge, could you send me 8 things that you're thankful to God for about Kingston URC? And we'll use those as our prayers in the week up to this. We've had a message from Emily Young, who some of you will remember was our youth and children's worker, and you may or may not know is now a Methodist minister. And she says, if anybody wants to look either on Sunday or after the event, I'm being welcomed on the Birmingham Methodist District service this Sunday at 10:30, missed it, Facebook, YouTube, district website, and on Sunday evening at 6:30 on the Sutton Park Circuit YouTube channel. So if you'd like to see how Emily's getting on, there's information about that. You'll see that the hymns are now being recorded with some pictures. If anybody's got some creative photos and would like to produce that, that would be great. Let me know and I'll work with you on the hymn and we'll work out when we're going to do it and which hymn you'd like to do. Or if I give you a hymn and you work on it, great, let's do it. Best wishes to those who have or are going back to school, starting school, going to uni soon. Best wishes to them. And finally, congratulations to Elizabeth Cole on the birth of a granddaughter, Sophia. Good name. That's good. I'm sure I've forgotten something. If I've forgotten something, and I can fit it in, send me a message at the bottom on the chat. Otherwise, what I'm going to do now is we are going to move into our communion. And the first thing is to dedicate to God the gifts that we offer. So let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, out of the fullness of your gifts, we bring before you bread and wine, our gifts and our lives. Blessed be your holy name forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Come to this table, you who are lethargic and careworn. Come with the bright and the singing. Come to this place, you who have forgotten how to laugh and who have forgotten how to feel. Come with the weeping and the jokers. Come to this place, you who feel that God has abandoned you, and know that it is a loving God who calls and welcomes you here. All are welcome. None are worthy. Thanks be to God for provision for our journeys. Amen. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as Jesus offered a prayer of thanks, so we join in our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. God, who has showered good gifts onto us, we offer thanks for faith, for food, for homes, for those who love us, for the gift of your Son that life may have meaning, for the gift of food that life may be sustained, for the gift of our homes that we may have a context and a place to be, for the gift of family and friends that we can know that we are loved, for the fellowship of our church community that we may grow in the faith. May the bread that will be broken challenge our orderliness, our attempts to package life, contain and manage it. May the wine that is poured challenge our measured discipleship, which wonders about how little we can get away with, miserly in love and mean in giving. And as we eat and drink, may we remember those with whom we are united, those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ that we will never see all around the world, and those who rest and remain with you, Lord Jesus, those who have gone before us in the faith. And we rejoice that we are united with one another, though physically, for this season, we are distant. Blessing and honour, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. the blood of Christ. So let us pray. God of a love stronger than death, you have given us new birth into a living hope through the gift of your Son. God with us. Like a mother, you have fed us with yourself and strengthened us for journeying ahead. God of truth and power, you take our weakness and our sin and refashion us by grace. Gracious God, may the love which bids us welcome at this table gather all your children into one, in your eternal presence, whole and free at last. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we join together to sing our hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me? So please stay if you can for the breakout rooms afterwards. Good chance to catch up with one another. But as we go, free us from self-obsession. Unite your church in love for the world. Show us Christ afresh and bring about your new order for our time. Thanks.